Our scripture today is from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7 to 12. You're welcome to, if you have a Bible, to read along. But before we get into this, let's pray. We thank you for your love and care that you speak to us through your word who we know is Jesus. And so we pray that our hearts and minds are open to receive this glorious gift, this act of mercy and grace. And we may rejoice with our lives, with our hearts, with our mind, with all that we are, sharing that joy and passion with all that we encounter. We thank you for your glorious love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 12. Hear now God's word. Love, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Of course, it's an old saying. Many of you are probably familiar with it. The proof is in the pudding. In fact, when I was looking for slides to go along with this, one of the slides that I saw was two cooks were in a kitchen. One was standing behind the counter, and the other one was laying dead on the floor. And a cop was interrogating him. And then another cop reached into the pudding and found the gun. Proof is in the pudding. It made me chuckle a little bit. Proof in the pudding, what it means, pretty obviously, it's just one of those idioms that we have that we actually understand, not like don't look a gift horse in the mouth. That one might be a little confusing. But the proof in the pudding is that you know it's good when you eat it. Boy, pudding is good. What's your favorite pudding? Butterscotch? Chocolate? I had a vote for tapioca at the other service. Yeah, I like tapioca too. How about bread? I like bread pudding too. Of course, it's different than the other pudding. But you don't know it's good until you give it a shot. I mean, you get an idea it's good. You can look at it, you can smell it. If it looks good, if it smells good, it must mean it is good. But that's not always the case. There are things out there that look good and smell good, but if you eat it, it doesn't always taste good. I'm thinking of a rose. Roses don't really taste all that hot. But pudding, the proof is most definitely in it. But this is an idiom. It tells us about life and other parts of it. We know that the proof is in the pudding in our lives. There are things in our lives that look good and smell good and we think are good. But the proof of their actual quality is in what? Experiencing them. How many times have we been fooled? It looks good. It seems good. It's going to be good for our lives. It's something that we really need. It's something we desire. And then when we get it, we realize how not so good for us it is. We realize that it's hurting us. Realize that it's not what we had anticipated. The proof is in the experiencing. Our scripture talks about God being love. Let's love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. We know that God is love by experiencing that love. The proof is in the pudding. How many of us have stories in our lives about God's love? And not just like this soft frou-frou kind of love, you know, the fluffy stuff that is here one moment and goes away the next. I'm talking about the hard kind of love. The love that sees us through the super difficult time. The love that still exists even though we get angry and mad. The love that sticks around even when we might go away. The strength of the love. The proof is in the pudding. God's love, though, is some of the strongest love around. And there's something about it, I think, that makes it more challenging than any love that I think we can experience. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice to our lives. I've shared freely with you that I'm not the most gracious host, or at least I haven't been in my past. The house that I lived in was always my sanctuary, my place, and anyone who came in it had a time limit where I felt that they were welcome. Time limit used to be half an hour, and I'm talking for my parents too. When my parents showed up, they had a half an hour, and then they could go. And if they didn't go, I would go upstairs, out on the porch, you know, that sort of thing. I will say I've grown up a bit over the years. Stephanie has really helped me. The time limit's at about 5 hours now. That's not bad. Got 5 hours, and then I'm going to go somewhere else. It's getting better. When we think of love and hospitality, we think about opening up our home to another, inviting people in. It's not always an easy thing to go do, inviting people to your space. Definitely you have to clean up and make sure, you know, that everything's right. For your closest of friends, you may not have to do that because, you know, they'll love you no matter what. But there's this preparation, and we invite people to our space, even as a church, and into our building, and into this part of the family of God. Invitation is an important part of love. But God's love goes a step beyond. God does certainly invite us, there's no doubt about that, but the neat thing about God's love is that God's love comes to where we are. And that's the neat thing about Christ. God created this world, and through sin and the history of the world, God saw that it needed God. And God didn't wait until the world came to it, but came to the world through Jesus. The neat thing about God's love is God's love meets us where we are. And I have great respect for that. There are times in my life where I haven't been very close to God, where I've walked away, where I have felt abandoned, or I wanted to do things my own way. And I turned my back. But the weird thing is that even as I remember those times and look back, I still see that God was still there. Not waiting for me to come to God, but meeting me where I was in the moment. God doesn't wait for us, but comes to us. One of my favorite scriptures, I'm looking for my phone here, is a song about God's love for us and what that love looks like and how that love takes shape. And it's from, let's see here, I think you'll recognize it. I gotta look it up here. Much better to read it. That's not the one I want. My fingers a little fat here. There it is. Let me know if you recognize it. The Lord is my shepherd, and shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Love this scripture. Talks about how God sees us as God's own responsibility. Anything about this scripture is the one that we just read for the sermon today from 1 John. Talks about how God's love doesn't wait for us, but meets us where we are. And we see that through Jesus. God became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is not a New Testament idea. This is an idea that goes throughout the entire Bible, God meeting us where we are. In the scripture I just read, verse 6 is what I want to note. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house forever, in the house of the Lord forever. In this scripture, one of the versions that I like is the Jerusalem Bible, the Jewish Bible. In the Jewish Bible, on Psalm 23, verse 6, it reads like this. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See the difference? The Hebrew word that we translate follow in most of our Bibles, the Jews translate it as pursue. And it makes such a vast and wonderful difference. We don't have a God that just kind of follows where we go, but we have a God who chases us down, who runs after us, who seeks us where we are, who doesn't allow us just to be, but comes to us. That the love that God shows us in our lives is a love that meets us. It's a love that pursues us, that desires us. How many times I've experienced that in my life. God not just letting me be, but checking up on me always. But this isn't just isolated to God. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. The same love that pursues us, that tracks us down, that meets us where we are, is the same love that we're supposed to share with one another. To be involved in each other's lives. To check on one another. To support each other. To ask us the questions. The old pastor question is not just for the old pastor. How is it with your soul? It's the question that we should be asking one another. Making sure that we're okay. If someone's on our mind, pursue that. Pray for them. because that's what God has done for us. But this isn't just relegated to people in the church, but to the community around us. The church is not just a place, an island within a community where people swim to when they need solid land. The church is an island within a community where the members are supposed to swim out to the rest of others and make sure they're okay. Because God met us where we are. So God challenges us to meet others where they are. That unfamiliar ground sometimes. Unfamiliar to our own way of living, our own way of life. But I think the best kind of love that God is teaching us here is a love that invests in another person. And I pray that we're willing to do that with one another and with all those whom we encounter in our lives, in our community. I'll leave you with this benediction from Romans 8, 38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Go in peace.